Shalom, today's daf yomi is Baba Basra, daf kuf ayin dalad, Baba Basra 174. And back on the Mishnah on kuf ayin gimel on Mabeza 173b, the Mishnah had recorded a teaching of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who had stated, Herav isha b'ksuvasa, that if a man says, I'm going to be a guarantor for this ksuba, meaning to say, let's say Reuven had married Rachel, and as part of every marriage, the husband has to promise a ksuba as a bond in case the marriage will end prematurely. And so as a result of this, he says, I have to pay this ksuva to my wife. But since the wife is concerned that the husband will not have the money to pay the ksuva, a guarantor says, if the husband can't pay it, then I'll have to pay it. So Yaakov comes along and he says, I'll guarantee that I'll pay the ksuva in case Reuven can't pay it. So this is a legitimate way of guaranteeing a ksuva. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says we're concerned that there will be deception, a kanunya, there will be trickery between the husband and wife, that if the husband will divorce the wife and there is a guarantor for the ksuba, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the husband has to take a vow that he'll never ever get benefit from this woman again, which basically means he won't be able to remarry her. And the reason is we're concerned that he'll divorce his wife, the third party will pay the ksuva, and then he'll remarry her because they've done this in order to trick the man into having to pay the ksuba. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the only way you can do this is if you take a vow that you're not going to marry back your wife under those circumstances. Comes along today's daf yomi, Kufay and Dalit, and tells us a story. There was a man named Moshe Bar Atzri, and this man, Moshe Bar Atzri, stood in as the guarantor for the ksuva of his daughter-in-law, meaning to say his daughter-in-law was married to his son, Rav Huna, and Moshe Bar Atzri said that if Rav Huna has to divorce her and he's unable to pay the ksuva, then I will be the one to pay the ksuva. I am the guarantor. However, what happened was Rav Huna, his son, was a tzurban midrabanan. He was a Torah scholar. He was a young Torah scholar who dechiko e milse. He had no money and he was hard pressed for money. So his fellow colleagues said to him, "We're going to give you an idea. Set up by a leka de nasal de naspe etzel Rav Huna. Is there anybody here nobody here is able to go over and give an advice to Rav Huna that what should he do? He should divorce his wife, and then his wife should go and be able to collect the ksuba from her from Rav Huna's father, from Moshe Bar Atzri, and in that way they'll be able to support themselves. And then what I'll do is, after his wife collects the ksuba from Moshe Bar Atzri, Rav Huna can go and remarry his wife." So Abaye did exactly what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was worried about in our Mishnah. That's what he suggested that Rav Huna does. So Rava responds to Abaye, "How can you do this? We have the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Vayadi rena ana. We know that the husband, if he does this, if there's a guarantor, he has to take a vow that he's not going to ever remarry the wife by saying I can't get benefit from her." So Abaye says, "No. Atu kol de megarish bebeidina megarish. You think everybody who divorces their wife does it in a court where presumably in the court, they would enforce this aspect of it. That's how some explain it. That's how Rabbeinu Gershom explains it. That since they're going to be divorcing in a court, the court will understand this and they'll be experts of it." So he says, "No, they're not going to be experts, because what's going to happen is that's only in a Bez Din HaGadol. That's only if it's a big court where they're experts on it." Another interpretation is they actually don't even have to divorce in a court at all. So there are two approaches to how to explain this. But by saying that they're not going to divorce under this fashion, they could do it in a place where they'd be able to evade this principle. And so therefore Abaye was saying that they could get away with this. But in the end, the Gemara says actually that wouldn't work. And the reason why it wouldn't work in this specific case with Rav Huna is because in the end what they discovered was that he was a Kohen, who Sophie Goy Milsa the Kohen, who they discovered that Rav Huna was a Kohen, and they saw, oh, we're not going to be able to get away with this. And Amar Abaye, this is what they say, Hainu Damri Inchi Basar Aniya Azla Aniyusa. After a poor person follows poverty. And Abaye was basically saying that since he was poor, he wasn't able to evade the system, that the poor people have it the worst in this sense, that the wealthy people know how to beat the system, but after a poor person follows poverty and he had bad luck, and so he was a Kohen, and so he couldn't beat the system because he had this further bad luck to make it that he was unable to beat the system. So Gemara asks, how could Abayi himself give such advice, which is deceptive, because Abayi was telling him how to beat the system, and Abayi himself said, Ezu Rasha Arum, what is considered to be a wicked man who is crafty? That's a person who gives advice to somebody to act in a deceptive manner. And here, how is he acting in this way? He was telling him to act in a way which would deceive his own father. So the Gemara answers no, that there was a reason why Abayi did this. And one reason is because he was a Tzur B'mei Rabbanan, that Abayi felt that since Rav Huna was a Torah scholar, he had a special dispensation to act this way. And the other reason was because he was his son, and his son is different. And even though some say that these are two independent reasons, the Shulchan Aruch rules that it was both of these reasons. The only way you could use this deceptive practice to get around the guarantor is if you were both a Torah scholar and the person's son. And so therefore, we could probably assume that there was the assumption when a person became a guarantor for their child that they were going to allow the child to do this type of technique to evade the system. But that's the only way it would be allowed, and that's the only reason why Abayi allowed it. I saw in the opinion of the Shraga to Maseches Kul, and he says this phrase, after poverty comes poverty, Basra Aniya Azla Aniyusa, to say that what it means is, like, he said it tongue-in-cheek, that sometimes people go to a person's house and ask for money, and the person says, oh, I have no money, I have no money at all. And so then the poor person leaves, Azla Aniyusa. After the poor person leaves, suddenly also the man's own poverty left. The person you asked for money, suddenly he's no longer poor anymore. His own poverty has left once the poor person's left, and his deception has disappeared.